we're no different. Like, we're in the situation now where, as I said, of what we have left, there's at least half of what we have left, and maybe more, that is, it's not passable today. Like, it's not grazable today. It's not, you definitely couldn't drive a machine on it today. So I could have 50% grazed, or I could really have 70% grazed. We're not quite sure yet, depending on what happens.
Hello, I'm Stuart Childs, and you're welcome to The Dairy Edge, the Chagas Dairy Podcast. We're bringing you the latest information, insights and opinion to improve dairy farm performance. March of 2024 has been very wet, with incessant rain throughout the month on top of almost incessant rain since October-November of 2023. This is making farming extremely challenging. Grazing has become a challenge on farms that normally have no issues, while heavy farms are consuming silage reserves rapidly. Dry weather is the only solution to the problem, but when it comes, what do farmers need to do to get back on track for 2024? So for this week's episode, we're going to hear from Donal Patton and Mike Egan, who spoke at a recent Chagas webinar to discuss these issues, and Donal first outlined the issue in Ballyhays.
Just the current situation where we're at, as I said, it's probably not that much different than where most people are, Stuart, at the minute, struggling to get... get out day and night, really, from the start. We were out a few nights, but, you know, predominantly it's been in at night, trying to keep out most days. It was the odd few days we didn't get out, but in the most part, staying out by day. Farm cover's 640, so we're, behind where you'd like to be at this stage. For us, we'd like to have more grass on the farm, I suppose. Area grazed, we're just over the 50% grazed, and one of the problems is, I suppose, of what's left, there's a good proportion of that is the more marginal area, and that's common enough from talking to farmers that were 10, people have been pushing the poorer quality ground away all the time each week, and there's kind of a lot of that ground to get through in the next couple of weeks, which is going to be a challenge. Growth rates, I was just looking at the growth rates there today compared to the long-term average. We are back a little bit now. Up until last week, it was normal, pretty much normal. This week now, we are back a little bit, and that's probably part of that is fertilizer, or not getting the second round of fertilizer out. Production, you can see where the production's at. It's nothing to write home about. Protein's lower than what you'd like, and has dropped quite a bit in the last probably 2 weeks. Understandable enough, I'd say, just with a lot of silage going into the system. Fertilizer, we were lucky, we did get out with fertilizer in early March, but we haven't got out with anything since, and you can really see that now in terms of the start of the second round. Those paddocks, they look like they need nitrogen, but it's going to be, I don't think we're going to get it done this week, but we'll see what the forecast brings, I suppose.
So that's is it likely that the farms that have no nitrogen out are going to be slightly back again on what you said there?
Yeah, I would say so. So speaking to a lot of farmers in this part of the world, a lot of lads with no fertilizer out, no slurry out. That's, I don't know the percentage off the top of my head, but it's common. It's common. There's lots of lads in that situation. So yeah, your growth rates are going to be compromised. I suppose it's just a matter of get out when you can. But the windows, unfortunately, are very, very short. Like, really, it was early March. There was 2 or 3 days we could spread. That was pretty much it. And we haven't had dry days since. Today, some of the ground was travelable. They were spreading silage ground, grazing ground. There's a lot of it that we walked today that you wouldn't travel with a fertilizer spreader. So it's going to be travel what you can when you can, I suppose. We're targeting to finish first rotation 20th of April. That's what kind of works. 15th to the 20th of April is what kind of works for us. So, we're a little bit behind, but not that far behind. We're at the cusp of going. If the weather this week had been right, we'd have been going day and night now. But we're kind of holding off just for the next few days to see how the thing pans out. We don't have, as I say, we'd like to have a bit more grass ahead of us before we go day and night. So we're just stretching what we have, I suppose, for the next 15 odd days.
You did a trial a couple of years ago over a 4-year period where you kind of simulated the scenarios that are going to be facing people that are on the call. or kind of the dryland type scenario maybe and the heavier delayed grazing type scenario?
We were looking at the time, it was over a 4-year period. We were looking at, we'll say, extended grazing in our part of the world, which was, you know, getting out in February and staying out till November, versus the average for this part of the world, which would be starting to graze in late March and finishing up on the 20th of October. So we actually, as you say, simulated that. We stuck to those dates. And it was quite interesting when we did it over the 4-year period. We actually learned some stuff about how to manage situations like this, where, you know, for some people just genuinely couldn't get out of it, or wouldn't have got a big area grazed over the last number of weeks. They're probably faced with the similar challenges what we had with our late turnout groups. I suppose, look at it, a four-year trial. Obviously, we were looking at the effects that, you know, housed for longer periods had on cow performance, and it's everybody seeing it this year. We're seeing it ourselves. Protein percentage is reduced, yield is reduced, and the amount of feed you have to put in to get anywhere close is increasing. So it's all bad news on that front, I suppose. And we kind of know that, and that's why there has been such a drive to, you know, get people out when they can to utilize grass. It reduces their costs, it increases your performance. And it's really in years like this where you know, some guys can't get out that you really see the value of grass. So I suppose one of the challenges for the late turnout treatments, and similar to where a lot of farmers are going to face this year, is that, you know, your farm cover is going to be high because, you know, it's continuing to grow. Like growth, as I said, up until this week was normal enough. So cover was building, there was no demand as such. And that's a challenge. Like, that's a big challenge because obviously pre-grazing yields are getting higher. And it's, I suppose, how we manage that going into the second rotation on those farms. So very much so what's happened, that's happened at this stage, Stuart, it's about how we transition into second rotation on those farms. It's going to be the really interesting thing, or the thing that people are going to have to maybe do things that they're not used to doing to get a good result. So we actually opened or started grazing on those treatments at 1,200 of a farm cover, which was quite a challenge because very similar to what people are facing at the minute. A lot of the farm with big covers on it, and you know how we get around that. So the one thing I want to sort of show from this is that the way we managed it, okay, there was huge differences in autumn and spring, but through the mid portion of the year, basically through management decisions we took mainly in April, sort of April, early May, we got the thing back on track pretty well. And that transpired into cow performance, and it also transpired into grass quality. So we actually corrected the grass quality by the decisions we made in April and early May. So I thought maybe just what I'd do is step back sort of 5th of April 2020, so similar time of year as we're at now, and look at the two different treatments, because it kind of simulates what, you know, as you said, there's different people in different situations. So this is kind of the recommended, or what we were aiming to do with an early turnout. So we had sort of, at this stage of the year, we had sort of 700 back on our first paddocks we grazed in February, which is not that much different at the minute. We had 30% of our first round left, which is, you know, we're a bit behind that this year, actually. But the aim of the game was when we get sort of 1,100, 1,200 on two or three paddocks, that we'd skip into the second round. And as I said already, that sort of, generally speaking, happens somewhere around the 15th to the 20th of April for us, probably earlier than that for people on drier land than we're on, or further south. So, you know, if you're in that situation, you're in a good enough situation, you're just going to have to stretch out the remainder of your first round for as long as you think you need to get that sort of level of cover back on the start of the second rotation. The probably more common situation, well, I know in this part of the world, I don't know what story down south, but this would be more common, speaking to farmers, where, you know, and this is our late turnout group as we sort of ran it over those 4 years. So same date, 5th of April 2020, we were only starting to graze from the 20th of March. We only had 200 back on our first paddocks grazed, which you can kind of see here. So because they weren't that long grazed, obviously. And we are only at about 20% of our area got through at this stage. So what are the things that we did to try and get over the, you know, get the thing back into shape, get over the problem? So the first thing we did over the 4 years, we didn't start on those treatments at the top of the wedge. We inverted the wedge. We basically started as close to the bottom as we possibly could. If we were in at night, which we were for the first week, out by day and at night, we grazed light, 800 covers. Then once we go full time, we were in the sort of 11, 1200 covers. And generally speaking, over the period, I was looking back at the dates today, it was around about the 25th of April when we finished first rotation on those treatments. And we ended up skipping in and around 25, 30% of the area and bailed that early. So again, late April, early May, we went in, took that out. And I think that was the big thing that, that helped to correct the situation. So look at the things that people have to do. Try and get at least one grazing in per day, if you can at all, if it's for a few hours after milking or whatever you can do, try and do that as many days of the week as you possibly can. Regular measurement to decide when to start the second round. So knowing what's, you know, what is on the start of your second round and making that decision when to skip in. And I suppose the last thing there, which is a common enough one I see, where people will make the right call and skip the paddock, but then oftentimes they say, well, I'll be cutting pit silage in 2 weeks, I'll leave it sit for the pit, and they generally run themselves into a hole. So when you identify the surplus, take it out early and correct the situation and get back on track as quick as you possibly can.
So Donal, people will be wondering why you're talking about correcting the second round now, we'll say, and trying to get that right. What should people be doing right now in terms of trying to get going? What's your advice from your experience?
Yeah, the get going thing, I suppose, what has been a real challenge this spring, Stuart, is that there wasn't, generally you get wet days or wet periods and then you get dry periods. And the dry periods are when people get going. And we just haven't had that. We've had just constant wet days throughout February, with a few dry days at the start of March when we got fertilizer out, and then it just basically hasn't stopped raining since. So I think you just have to start. Now, obviously, I know there's probably a good number of people on this call, and they're of all varying different soil types and all the rest of it. But within most farms, there's some area where you know you have a chance. So go there, start. Don't overreact to the first day or two. I often see that where people put cows out, cows will make a bit of a mess for the first day or two, and they panic and they come back in, and they just end up having to do that again in 2 weeks. So it's actually, you just have to stick with it. Limited time. So if you feel you're doing too, there is a point where you just can't go out. I understand that. That happens and has happened a lot this spring. But for most part, if you limit the time the cows are on the paddock, it will. It's amazing what you can get away with. So you just have to get going, Stuart. You have to pick a place that you know you can. You have a chance. Go out, look at it, and just get going if you haven't started already.
And Donald, is it a case of like people are busy? Like all the extra feeding creates extra work, but. Is it a case of get the cows milked in the morning, maybe feed the calves and try to find the dry spot if the day is good?
Yeah, well, look, oftentimes, you know, I'm not a fan of holding cows back after milking because it kind of elongates labour and all the rest of it. But in saying all that, in weather like this, sometimes you have to do that just to, you know, if you're milking and feeding calves is absolutely bucketing rain, let the cows stand for half an hour or an hour or whatever, and then go and see where you're at. Because when you make the decision to turn them in, that's it for the day. You're not going to let them out then after that. So, that's been happening a lot this spring. So it's just one of them things, you know, you'll find the lads who are used to grazing in February and March kind of know all this stuff. There's other lads who don't usually turn out till, you know, mid-March or whatever, and the conditions now are probably as challenging as there would be in lots of years in February. So just knowing to, you know, you're just going to have to get out, have a look and walk. And at this time of year, it's amazing how quick things change. Like even the day we walked around, I couldn't believe how good conditions was on the better parts of the farm. On the wetter parts of the farm, it's, you may say, impassable, but you just have to aim and go where you can.
Like, people are under pressure now for fodder stocks, and every day will count in terms of days not eating silage when you're tight on silage, especially with the forecast poor for the next 7 or 10 days potentially still. But the positive side is that once it does turn, it can turn very quickly, even on the heavy ground, which is still going to take time to dry out. But
not every
farm, it's important that people realize that there's very few farms in the country that are completely heavy, heavy soil. Like, there's mixed soil across the vast majority of farms.
Yeah, and you can pick your point. And I suppose the other thing too is, look, in conditions like this, there'll be lads sending me pictures and videos and I'm not happy with the graze out. Just forget about that. Just get them out and get moving. Like, it's not going to be perfect or anywhere near perfect, but it's still better to have made an attempt to get some grass into the cow's diet than to be sitting back waiting for perfection, because it's just not going to come in a year like this. You just have to go when you can.
Any further comments, I suppose, Donald, in terms of the feed budget within Ballyhays? Have you done anything different in relation to kind of the feed stock that you've been using in the spring that is 2024 so far?
No, so far we haven't, as in it's been meal in the parlour, silage in the shed, grass in the paddock. Silage reserves are getting tight, like. So whether we have to make, I suppose we'll have to make that call in the next week or 10 days. If the thing isn't starting to improve at that stage, we may have to introduce a third feed or try and, you know, start stretching things a little bit. But for the time being, we're continuing as is, you know, silage, meal and grass. We haven't really been in it. And it was rare enough. I think there was maybe 3 or 4 days that, you know, they were in full time for 3 or 4 days, or there was a weekend of snow back in early March. So, I suppose the fact you're getting the one bout of grazing in most days, it means you don't have to be, well, in my head, you don't have to be thinking about other feeds other than, you know, meal and silage.
Okay, in some cases where we are tight, but at the same time, like we were saying earlier, maybe that because of average growth, and maybe if you had got some bit of grazing done in February, that there might be a close enough to kind of getting started cover on your second, on your first cover, first paddock of your second rotation. What's the concern, I think, is that we've always said that if you do damage in the first round, it's okay, but if you hit it again in the second rotation, that you're going to hamper production for the year effectively. So what's the approach there, or what's your thinking?
Look, those paddocks are tender. I suppose what we've always done over the years is just mix and match, Stuart, a little bit between first and second rotation. You know, so don't fully finish your first rotation and end up in a situation where you have no choice but to go to the next 3 or 4 paddocks. So mixing and matching definitely helps, but I can see that, I suppose, we're no different. Like, we're in the situation now where, as I said, of what we have left, there's at least half of what we have left, and maybe more, that is, it's not passable today. Like, it's not grazable today. It's not, you definitely couldn't drive a machine on it today. So I suppose that's why we're not just rushing out at night yet until we see what, because I could have 50% grazed, or I could really have 70% grazed. We're not quite sure yet, depending on what happens. So it's just a matter, I suppose, don't put yourself in the position where you have no choice but to go into those in wet weather. If you can at all avoid that, avoid it. So even though it's not palatable now to that the silage is still going into the diet, I think it's better to do that till we, you know, for the next week or so, till we see what way things pans out. And on paper, we probably could get away with going full-time grazing now, but that's one of the reasons why we're a bit hesitant, you know, that we don't want to be running into the start of the second rotation when it's wet.
We'll just switch over to the fertilizer. So Mike Egan has joined us to deal with the fertilizer questions, and huge variability, I suppose, Mike, from the point of view of the various situations that are on farm. Farmers have some fertilizer spread. I know that in Moor Park, the second round has been applied. We'll say the first round was later than normal, but it was out. But there are farms that have nothing at all spread. So the situation, I suppose, in terms of being able to deal with that now on farms, to make the right decisions around what to go with now and how much to go with. And obviously, we have to be conscious of what's available in terms of allowances now as well, having been limited again further in the regulation changes this year.
Yeah, look, I think there's a couple of different scenarios at the moment that's out there. I think we need to be very careful of that in it. And I'm very aware of the weather conditions that's there for the past couple of weeks and months and this week and the next couple of days as well. So, look, there probably are some farms that are currently up to date and they have their probably 70 to 80 kilos of nitrogen out. And for anyone that's in that situation, they're probably continuing to graze as well and go through what Donal and James are talking about. And for anyone that is in that situation, I think it's to continue now to follow with fertilizer after grazing in the region of 15 to 20 kilos per grazing rotation or every 20, 25 days. So I think that's one, and there's probably not very many in that. There's probably a lot of people that fall into this category at the moment, and I'm just going to go through these and then we'll go through them scenarios, but a couple of dry weeks, a couple of dry days in the second half of March, they probably went with half a bag or a little over half a bag. I think we need to be very careful of the P allowances, and you mentioned at the start with the new, and particularly the P, the fertilizer register as well. Yeah. Look, there is P in Surrey as well, and I think we should try and utilise much of that. If you have a P allowance and going with it, and particularly on ground that was damaged, on any ground that has been grazed, that has been damaged, Donald covered already, we don't want to damage those again. Because that is going to, within reason, obviously, and conditions are going to really dictate that. But we don't want to damage them again, because that's going to cause a lot of compaction damage. So try and graze them reasonable, but don't go near them with a roller. But we try to need to get them to tiller out again. And if there is a P allowance, it should probably be targeted towards those paddocks. And if you have allowance to go with P, whatever it is, try and hit it on those paddocks that are damaged and potentially lower in as well, indexes as well, because it'll encourage tillering. To try and fill up that space again. We don't leave these very open paddocks that are not going to fill out or tiller out again, and they're going to be ingressed with weeds after the wet weather. So I think if you have a P allowance, go at it. If you don't, try and target some of the slurry or parlour washings, we don't wet and ground more so, but dirty water or parlour washings or slurry, watery slurry at a rate of about 2,000 gallons. On average slurry, that's somewhere in the region of 8 to 10 units of P that you'll get out with 2,000 gallons of reasonable quality slurry. Again, targeted fertilizer, drier ground that you can travel on, that is trafficable, that is not waterlogged. Aim for those paddocks. You don't need to spread everything. Go a little and often. And if you have nothing out, blanket spread. Don't be waiting to follow the cows. If you have nothing done and you're getting back to, whenever it dries up and you're getting back to grazing, don't be waiting until after it's grazed to go blanket spread before. Get it into the ground, get it into the plant. As soon as it's grazed, you're going to increase regrowth rates substantially by blanket spreading as soon as conditions allow, rather than waiting until after it's grazed. You'll have a delay about 5 to 10 days. The question that happens every year, and particularly this year, importance of fertilizer on ungrazed heavy covers, extremely important. And if we don't, I've seen a lot of questions are in a discussion that it's very hard to graze these heavy covers now. There's going to be a heavy butt left in the base of them. That is going to reduce growth rates. By not spreading those, it is going to even reduce growth rates more so. So it is still as important as every other year to spread fertilizer on ground that is heavy. Heavy covers, what I mean, now not heavy land, heavy covers, and to increase regrowth. In terms of silage ground, I think there's a lot of empty silage bits there. We need to get a good yield of silage back into the yard, build reserves, and building into what Donal was talking about. There's a lot of people that have very little grazing done, and some of that is going to have to go into silage too. Some is going to be longer term silage that can be closed up with your first cut and put into the pit in May, and some is going to have to be taken relatively soon in terms of surpluses to get it back into the grazing rotation as well. But in terms of fertilizer for longer term or first cut silage ground, I think if we look at this response yield to different application rates of fertilizer, and I think this is a year particularly that we need to get an increased yield and a high nitrogen response to it. So in that, we're talking somewhere between 80 and 100 kilos of chemical nitrogen to grow our first ton crop. And it's going to be somewhere within that ball of 80. And again, if the slurry going out, depending on the cover that's on it, you're making up that balance with slurry. So a typical 2,500 gallons of slurry is going to have somewhere in the region of 15 to 20 kilos of nitrogen. So you're taking that off the total. And this is the total 80 to 100 kilos total nitrogen, not just chemical.
So that's 80 units now, Mike, just to transfer it into...
Yeah, the 100 kilos is 80 units, yeah. Out. So again, you're talking... Two bags of urea, of straight urea is going to get you somewhere there on that at the moment. And again, depends on if there's slurry going out on that ground previously, if it have met some of its P and K requirements. If it hasn't, you're going to have to top that up. So I think, but it's getting enough fertilizer out as soon as possible. Again, getting the conditions so we get a high growth rates and capture some of that April growth rates when it allows. In terms of P, you're talking somewhere between 3 kilos of P per ton of dry matter expected. So if you're talking about a 6 ton crop, 18 kilos of P to grow that. Some of that's going to be met by slurry, if the slurry going out on it. In terms of K, between 20-25 kilos of K per ton again. So your K and your nitrogen are probably similar values. I think if you're delaying your fertilizer strategy now and still aiming for an early first cut, we'll talk about that in a second, be careful with going with too much K. So just maybe tailor it back if you're going to be delaying that fertilizer strategy for the next week or 10 days. Hopefully you won't be able to, you won't have to. In terms of heavy covers that are silage ground, outside blocks that typically get slurry, that is currently heavy covers on them that haven't got slurry, be careful with going with slurry on those now.
I don't think you can, Mike. I don't think they can either.
I think you're going to do too much damage to the sward. You're going to bring it back in again. So I think in that scenario, that heavy covers, you're meeting it all with chemical. The PNK requirements too is all coming from chemical.
And that's I suppose it's just a major concern for people if they're depending on that slurry piece to do their P fertilization and they don't have it, then they're just going to have to press on, get a cut, get the slurry out.
I think if you can't get the slurry out and you have no P allowance, I think it's just get your nitrogen out and your K and put out that slurry then after your first cut to grow your second cut crop to get your P allowance. I think we can't compromise timings at this rate. We need to get it in or can't compromise yields either. And look at, again, application as soon as possible. We don't want to delay, particularly, and silage or grazing ground, we can manipulate it somewhat with splitting our application dates depending on ground and where we're grazing. But in terms of silage, we need to get that silage closed off as soon as possible to get an early first cut. And the impact of delaying that first cut to bulk up first cut is going to hugely compromise second cut. So the reason I say about getting fertilizer out as soon as possible on silage ground, obviously conditions allowing as well, I think we need to be very conscious of the conditions that are there, but as conditions allowing, try and get our fertilizer cut, our first cut silage, in the third week of May, so we can get a good second cut as well. So try and get an early first cut up to the 20th or 25th of May with silage yields or covers that's on ground at the moment. That should be possible. It's just getting the fertilizer out in time to allow that.
That's all for this week's episode of the Dairy Edge podcast, and my thanks to Donal Patton and Michael Egan for joining us on this week's show. Don't forget to rate, review and subscribe to the podcast. You can listen on Apple and Google Podcasts as well as Spotify. And for more information, go to the Chagas website at chagas.ie. I'm Stuart Childs, and join us next time for your Dairy Edge.